Praise God. Well, you're thinking, oh, good. No handout tonight. Wrong. You just don't have it yet. Because there's a little prelude, and then there's a little explanation of what we're going to do tonight. It's going to be a little bit different from the faith scenarios that we have done in the past. And so, yes, we are doing another faith scenario. This is a series of faith scenarios. And in case you're wondering when this series will end, you're going to have to ask God because he keeps giving me more. You know, life is full of opportunities to walk by faith. For every one of us, no matter what we do, where we go, it's all about faith. I mean, you just look at all of you. You're all acting by faith. You're sitting on chairs that you're believing are not going to collapse under you. Am I right? I mean, you all sat down. You didn't check out the chair first and open it and close it and kind of test it a little bit and make sure it was going to be sturdy enough to hold you up and sturdy enough not to go collapsing on you. You know what? That's faith. It's faith in a manufacturer, faith in whoever created the design. You know, and Pastor Joshua has mentioned so many times about you go across one of those big suspension bridges. I mean, they're just like hundreds of feet off the ground and hundreds of feet across, like a big, over a big gorge, and you're looking down, down, down. Oh my. But we just drive right across, don't even give it another thought. What if the architect or the builder got a D or an E or an F in the class, and here he is building something you're trusting your life to? Wow, that's pretty amazing, huh? But you see, that's what our lives are like. We really are creatures of faith. God says he has given us the measure of faith. He gave us all an equal portion. It's like that little mustard seed. It may be a small amount, but we all start off the same. God treats his children all the same that way. He gives us equal gifts. But you know what? It's up to us to develop that seed. It's up to us to see where it goes from there in our lives. And if you look at your neighbor and you say, oh, wow, their seed's a lot bigger than mine. Don't be blaming the neighbor for their seed being bigger and their sunflower being 6 feet tall when yours is barely breaking the earth's surface. Because it has everything to do with what God has entrusted to us. He is a God of faith. He made us in his likeness and in his image. That means we are creatures of faith. We are expected by God as his children to walk in faith. If we're putting God first and we're talking to him constantly and we're looking to see where we go, what we do, what we say, and what time we do it, he's going to be leading us and guiding us. And we depend on him anyway. If we're trying to figure it all out on our own and then ask God to bless it, may not always work out that way. When it comes to knowing that faith is going to work for us, it's a matter of following God's ways, following his word, following what he's taught us. This is why ABC has been given so much revelation knowledge and so many tools. You know, everything we teach is right straight out of the word of God. That's why when you get a handout, you get all these scriptures. When someone stands up here without an outline, they're still giving you scriptures. And we invite everyone to take those scriptures, sit down with your Bible, look it up in your Bible. Make sure your Bible says the same thing. And you read it. Read it out loud. Talk to yourself with the Word of God. And say, God, what are you telling me? Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, you wrote the Word of God through many other men, through all the ages. So now teach me. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And so this has been probably the main purpose of the faith scenarios. ABC teaches rubber meets the road kind of stuff. The how-tos. I have been around for more than a year or two, as most of you know. And I've been to various churches in various different states and countries through the years. And let me tell you, there is not another one out there that I know of that is like ABC. Even among the best of them, they teach you what the Word says. They teach you what to believe in. There's a certain convention that I went to every year for an entire week, 7 days of soaking in the Word of God and the anointing and just hearing the Word. And boy, I would always take profuse notes and just really get into it. But I was so disappointed. For year after year, I'd go back and I keep seeing people that were in the same challenges they were in the year before, in the year before that. And the year before that. And I'm saying, God, why? They're teaching wonderful word. It's straight out of the Word of God. But the Lord showed me how it was what belongs to us, but never how to receive it. And unless we know how to receive it, it doesn't do us any good. What it becomes is what we've talked about before many times is head knowledge. We can get an education. We can read. We can think. We can understand with our minds and say, oh, that's wonderful. God's a good God. He has a wonderful salvation plan for all of his kids. That includes me. Oh, God, isn't this wonderful? You know, I get to have all these blessings. And then you come back the next year and you hear them talking about the same thing and you think, well, I'm not walking in them. Why are these blessings not overtaking me, chasing me down and overtaking me? Why, God? Well, maybe I'm being a hearer of the word and a hearer and a hearer and a hearer. And I've seen a lot of people like that, people that love the Lord a lot, people that are hungry for the things of God. And they will be faithful to go to church and they'll sit under the anointing and they'll listen and they'll listen and they'll listen. Maybe they even take good notes. But you never see them change. You never see any difference in their lives. Because God says over and over, he wants us to be hearers and doers. We need to get it down into our hearts. Saying the word is part of that, but acting on it is what cements it into our lives. Acting on it is what gets it to where it makes sense to us, where we can do something with it, where we're being obedient to God, and where then he can send his angels with the blessings to start chasing us down as we're obedient to his word. But that's why we have to learn to live by faith. I go through these scenarios, and every one of them is a real-life situation, and I believe all of them happen to ABCers. But if not, it's another Christian that we know. It's a real situation that actually happened. And you know what? We have to know when a situation arises, we have to recognize, is this a situation for faith? Is there a decision I have to make here? Is there a choice I need to make? Because God, I want to do things your way, Lord. And I want to know, what do I do with this? We're so used to being independent, just acting on things and just doing and doing. And later on, sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't have done that or I shouldn't have said that because we've hastened into things. And distill a little word that I think is really important. You notice God gave us one mouth and two ears. We also have two hands and two feet that we can go and that we can do. And he's promised to bless the works of our hands. So that means our hands have to work in order for him to bless the work of our hands, right? We got to do something. We got to line ourselves up with the word of God. So the scenario for tonight is called to sleep or not to sleep. That is the question. And we're going to be passing the outlines out, but I have them folded in half, and I want you to keep just the top part, the title, half of the page in front of you. We're going to attach this a little bit differently this week than we've done in the past. Okay, so ready to pass them out. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, to sleep or not to sleep, that is the question of the hour. Okay, praise the Lord. So what we're going to do together tonight, rather than you reading it and reading ahead and answering the questions, we're going to read the scenario together. I will read it out loud. You can read it along with me. And then we're going to talk about it before we read any suggestions, okay? So, faith scenario, to sleep or not to sleep? That is the question. Claire had a schedule that flipped between days and nights. During the week, she was up days and slept nights, which is pretty normal. But on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, she worked the night shift. In other words, like an 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and tried to sleep days. So here we are, half a week doing this and half a week doing that. By this particular Sunday morning, when she got off work at 7 a.m., she was really tired and so sleepy. Claire was scheduled to minister in children's church for the first of two church services. But she was so sleepy. Oh, okay. So what should Claire do? Okay, now I want interaction. And if I have to stand up here and there's a great silence, we'll do it. But I want you guys to participate, and for those of you in one area or different area or online, I will repeat what is being said. So what should she do? Here it is. She's got a church. She goes to a church where there are two services in the morning, and she is already committed to teaching children's church the first service. Okay, keep her schedule. Okay, she's really sleepy, she's really tired, doesn't know if she's going to make it through, but you said she'd keep her schedule. Now, she has committed herself to it. Okay, so we come back to the issue of what is a commitment, right? Is a commitment based on what you feel like?
No.
When you feel like it? Mm-hmm. No, a commitment is you say you're going to do something and you do it. You've given your word. There are other people depending on what you do. So if you've said you're going to do it, then there are people that are expecting you to do it. And everybody's lined up for what they have. Now, if there are two church services, what should she do in the second service? She's ministering in the children's church in the first service. What should she do in the second service? Anybody? Pardon? Attend service. Okay, for yourself. Thank you. That's perfect. Yes, now, you know, we talk about the glass being full, half empty, whatever. If you're giving out all the time, you're always ministering, going and doing, and not taking in, not receiving ministry for yourself, not receiving the anointing nor the word of God, what happens to that glass of water? You're pouring it out, pouring it out, and pouring it out, and after a while, it gets pretty empty. So it needs to be refilled. So this situation with the two services was really ideal for Claire because she had an opportunity to minister and be ministered to. But she was so sleepy. Oh my. Think she made it through? Have we all been sleepy? Have we all been up all night and had some place to be the next morning? Or we got our sleep interrupted and we had only been asleep 1 or 2 hours and somebody calls and it's an emergency and you have to go? Do we go? Of course we do. Do we stop and think about, oh, I only had an hour of sleep? No. No, if somebody needs us, we go. If we've made a commitment, in this case, she made this commitment knowing she was going to be up all night. And so maybe she had a little bit of a challenge of the schedule flipping back and forth between days and nights. That can be challenging to a body. But when God's number one in our lives, when Jesus is right there and we follow him, we know what we want to do is do what he wants us to do. He wants us to be fed, he wants us to serve, and he wants us to be obedient to our word. God gives us his word. That means he's a God of his word. His word is true. His word is truth. And what he says goes. Remember, we're made in his image, so we need to do the same thing. We need to be people of our word. We need not vacillate. We need not be emotional about it or base it on situations, circumstances, feelings. Because if we do that, what's going to happen? The devil's going to eat our lunch. Because what the devil's going to do is, if we're going to be swayed by every little thing, the devil's going to put a little hook in our nose and just lead us along. Oh, okay, over here we have a challenge. Oh, I don't know if I can do that today. Or over here, or over there. See what I'm saying? We want to be led by God and his word, not by the devil. So we need to be people of our word. So, okay, go ahead and open up this. And let's go over these together then. There are 6 options as normal. Option A says that Claire should cancel her appointment in the first service, go home to sleep all day, and then attend the evening service. I love that. I just heard a that's the buzzer for wrong answer from the audience. We didn't say anything about evening service. We're talking about 2 morning services. And yes, you will need to sleep during the day, but not during service, right? At least that's the ideal. Okay. Choice number B. She could call in to have someone replace her so she can skip both services and go home to bed to get some much needed and much deserved sleep. I think that's a double. Nyeh, nyeh. Don't you agree? Because what is she doing here? She's breaking her word. And she's opening the door to the devil. You know, sometimes we don't think about it. We think, well, I'm just so sleepy. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And we're just kind of hanging on. And it's like, if I could just go home and go to sleep, oh, it would be so wonderful. And you think about it and you're almost there. And then you're like, oh, but you know what? I said, I said I'd do it. They're counting on me. They hand out a schedule. It had my name on it in this slot. Okay. Okay. So I guess I can't call in, because what happens if I call in? What happens if I go with these emotions, these feelings? I'm opening the door to the devil. And I don't want to do that. I want to do things God's way. So I guess we could always come back to the famous WWJD. What would Jesus do? If ever in any of our decisions we have a doubt, stop and ask yourself that question. Here's what I'm expected to do. Here's what I feel like doing. Jesus, what would you do? Well, I doubt he'd be calling somebody in to replace him. As we read the word, we find out that I don't think he slept a whole lot. And he was in a man's body. He came as a man. He became one of his creation. He had the same needs that his body had as what we do. But you know how he spent a lot of his time? He spent it in prayer and in ministry. There are times the Word of God says he was praying all night. And then he'd be out ministering the next day. So he didn't say, okay, God, I was a good kid. I was a faithful and obedient son. I prayed all night. Now I'm going to go sleep. Let the disciples can go do whatever they want today. They can have the day off. You think he would have done that? I never see that in the Word anywhere. Okay, let's go to C. Call in to have someone replace her for the children's church so she can get a short nap before the second service. So she's looking out for number one here. She's looking out to get fed herself. But here we go with the aunt again, right? Because she made a commitment and she's trying to get out of it here. And that's just not a good thing. Especially that short notice. Three guesses who's going to end up filling her spot if she doesn't come. Right now, the person in charge of the ministry doesn't have time to call somebody else. So chances are the person in charge of the ministry is the one who gets to do it every time someone's a late caller or a no-show. Okay, D. Pray and affirm that God is the strength of her life and proceed with her commitment to both services. What do we think about this one? Okay, everybody seems to like it. I saw a couple of thumbs up. Okay, let's skip E for a moment. Before I comment on D, let's read F and see how D and F compare. F. Keep her commitments for both services by ministering in children's church and then attending regular church service for personal spiritual feeding. After church, go home to bed and sleep. Okay, so are we saying both D and F are the right answers? Okay, if D were not the best answer, why would it not be? No, she's proceeding to with the commitment to both services. Yeah, D says she's proceeding with her commitment to both services, her commitment to serve in the first one, her commitment to attend in the second. In the first one, yeah. But what about this praying and affirming? Okay, but let's say, is she dependent on the prayer and the affirmation in order to be obedient to what God has called her to do? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? In F, she's just straight out, I don't care how tired I am. I'm going to keep my commitment. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to do it. It's like the lepers when Jesus said, you're healed. They were healed as they went. So as you go to fulfill a commitment that you have, God will meet you as you go, and he will give you the strength to accomplish what you have committed to do. That's why prayer and affirmations are good things, obviously. But in this case, the stronger faith would be to just go and do, expecting God to meet you, expecting God to strengthen you, expecting him to keep you awake and be able to accomplish all that you wanted to do in those two services. Okay, what was just suggested was, what if she had been praying beforehand, not just when it's time to leave and should she keep her commitment, but what if, like, maybe during the course of the night while she's working, maybe she had taken a break and prayed to the Lord then, knowing what the schedule was going to be and knowing that she might be a little sleepy, and Lord, would that be okay? Well, my thought regarding that, I'm not saying that's wrong and that could be so also, but let's think about when she committed to doing the children's service, what should she have done first? She should have prayed then, right? She should have asked the Lord, okay, you want me to minister in children's service, okay? When? What day? What service? When do you want me to make myself available to be of service then? So you pray right up front. God says, okay, this Sunday, first service. And you go, okay, God, so I go to first service to minister. I go to the second service, so I'll be fed. So I keep the rivers of living water filling up that glass. Okay, so that's when you've made the commitment. Yes.
Objecting to the
permission, objecting to the prayer. No, I didn't address that. So the question was, I'm objecting to the prayer but not the affirmation. What I'm saying, the bottom line is, when you act by faith, it involves commitment, it involves trust, and the same answers would be true of affirmations as to the prayer. You pray up front, God says do it, you commit to doing it, and that's it. That's all as far as you're concerned, regardless of what happens before it, what happens that you've been up all night. You already know you're going to be up all night. It's your job. You know, that's what Claire was thinking. Okay, I know I'm working. I know I'm going straight. Okay, she's going from work to home to change clothes and then going to church. That's it. She knows she's going to do that. And she's just accepted it. She may be very sleepy. The enemy does attack us. The enemy attacks us. Why? Why do you think the enemy would be making her so sleepy just as she's getting off work and getting ready to go to church? He's trying to get her to change her schedule. He's trying to get her to do something different. He's trying to get her out of God's will. It's just a sneaky little thing. Now, if she feels weak at this point and she needs to pray and affirm to get her strength back up to go, as long as she never doubts in her heart that she's going to fulfill the commitment. So my understanding is the highest level of faith would be just to go and to do. Pardon? Confess our sins first. Well, we want to be doing that throughout the day, every day anyway. So yes. That's always a primary thing. So does everybody understand what I'm saying here? We're talking about faith, but we're talking about levels of faith. We're talking about degree of trust, degree of obedience, and following through with what God has for us. It'd be like, I know this doesn't show on camera, but it's the times when I do this. You trust. You just let go. You throw yourself in God's arms. That's trust. That's faith. Because if we doubt in our heart, then we're probably not going to do it. If we doubt in our head, you notice God says, don't doubt in your heart. It's what's deep down in here. It's your core value system. It's what you depend on. It's what comes out of you automatically. And that's the idea of faith. We want to practice it so much on little things, medium things, bigger things, great big things, so that when the situations demanding faith come up, we have trained ourselves and God has helped us every step of the way to get to where, boom, we just automatically act by faith. To do otherwise would be just not even a consideration after a while. Because we don't want to do things our way. It's never our way nor the highway. It's God's way or Satan's way. It's that simple. It's that plain. It's that clear cut. It's that black and white. Are we going to do things God's way? And if we say yes, then wonderful. If we're not, then we're automatically saying, okay, Satan, devil, I'm with you. And we're glorifying him. When we're in a challenging situation and all we can do is call up all of our closest friends and tell them all the details about all of our challenges, we're glorifying the devil. We want to learn how not to say very many words, how to bottom line it, how best to speak the word of God. The more we learn to speak the word of God in our situations, the more victory that we will have. So let's look at E, since we skipped over it. We'll just give it a glancing blow here. Fulfill her obligation for the children's church at the first of the two services, but then go home after the first service to sleep. See, now that's her commitment to the church that she's fulfilling. But what about her commitment to God for her own feeding? See, there's always a commitment to God involved in both aspects of both services. And we want to be obedient. For what does God say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And you notice when you read that, it says, especially as the last day approaches. And it's approaching very rapidly now. So we want to be aware even more than ever of what to do and how to do it. We need to be able to know that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that, yes, it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking to me. And then we need to see, does it line up with the Word of God? If what I'm hearing may not be quoted word for word in the Bible, but if the essence of it is the character of God is represented there, then do it. And do it without holding back. Looking up Hebrews 10:25. Lord just said to turn there. So I will. Okay, and I happen to be in Amplified. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking nor neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Okay? So this is what we want to do. As that final day approaches, as The things get darker, and believe me, after next week, as the fulfillment of January comes, no matter who wins, it's going to be a whole different world we live in. It's going to be so different. The Lord predicted it. He said we're in the last days, in the last of the last days. And there are things we just know are going to happen. And we see it happening around us. And sometimes it's just a little catches your breath to see how fast it's happening now. But that's why it's so important to be in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. We're just intimate with the Lord. Psalm 91 is an Old Testament scripture, but look how powerful it is in protection. God's saying, when you're with me in that secret place, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. That's a lot of people. 1,000 and 10,000, that's 11,000 people all right around you that are getting destroyed. Probably for a lack of knowledge. The unbelievers definitely have a lack of knowledge, and unfortunately, so do too many believers. But we want to be those that grab hold of the Word of God, that learn how to walk by faith, that process our lives to think faith. Faith, God, how is this a faith situation? What can I do here to operate by faith? What decisions can I do to walk by faith? And walk by faith. It says step by step, step by step. The game we played as children, Mother May I, it was always one step at a time. It might be a teeny little step. It might be a giant step. But it's always one step at a time. And the key is we want to keep growing closer to God. We want to do things His way more and more and more. Now, there's another scripture we can all turn to in Mark chapter 5. This Bible used to belong to my mother, and this particular passage is highlighted in red. This was very meaningful to her with the challenge that she was going through. She leaned a lot on the Word of God and trusted the Word and the Holy Spirit. So let's read. Let's start with verses 25 and 26. This is Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, and I am reading from the Amplified. And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years. Women? 12 years. We think once a week for 12 months is enough. But 12 years, this was an ongoing flow. Ongoing. And she had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians. It was just coming and coming, and it wasn't stopping. And she'd go from one to another to another. Doctor, help me. Doctor, help me. Can you help me? Do you know? Anybody figure out? And each one charged her money. And she went through every dime that she had, and maybe she saw all the physicians there were in the area. Nobody could help her. Her situation got worse in the natural, in terms of the pain, the blood flow was continuing. And let me tell you, after 12 years, she was weak. Extremely weak. Her immune system was probably way down. She was very challenged in every respect from this constant barrage upon her body for 12 long years. And then she spent every dime that she had. Excuse me, she spent every shekel that she had. Every last bit of money. She's now destitute, and not only is she not healed, but she's worse off than she was before. And it just seems to be going downhill more and more. And she just doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know anymore where to turn. What is she going to do? And you know, with this flow of blood, guess what? She's been relegated to the outside tents, outside of the main congregation, because she's considered unclean. So here she is. That just adds insult to injury. She's out on the outskirts. Nobody's going to want to go see her. She can't come in and visit anybody. She's seen the doctors. They can't help. She spent all of her money, and she seems like there's nothing left. There's no answer. You know, in her mind, she must have been thinking, well, am I just going to die? What else was there? But then, verse 27, don't you love it when we say, but God? You know, things look really bad for us, but we like to put our butts in the right places. But God. Remember, it's not, well, I know God can do this, and so, but you don't know what I've been going through. Mm-mm. That's backwards. We want to do, I've been going through some real challenges, but God gives me hope. God gives me a way out. So here we are, verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. She heard the reports concerning Jesus. Oh, wow. Somehow, the word got to her on the outskirts of town. Everybody is probably shouting, hey, you hear about this Jesus? Do you hear he's been healing everybody? I mean, people were probably shouting it, and word was passing around, and she heard these reports, and they gave her hope. They gave her hope. Now, here's a woman who's in a desperate situation. What would you be thinking? Put yourself in her shoes. What would you be thinking? How would you be acting? What would you do? It says, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. She went out in public. She's not supposed to be going out in public. She could be stoned to death if she goes out in public. She knows this is taboo. But you know what? She probably figures if she doesn't go, she's going to die. So if they stone her and she dies, oh well. But there's hope with this Jesus. I got to find this Jesus. Look at her step of faith. Think about it. She was facing potential stoning to death by seeking out Jesus. Verse 28. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She had been hearing about him healing people from all kinds of different situations. She knew he had the power and ability. She knew that all she needed to do was touch that anointing. She just had to find him, and she had to touch his clothes. That's all. She wasn't asking for him to lay hands on her. She wasn't asking for him to heal her. She was a desperate woman. And she's going out into public. You notice she kept saying, first she got it in her mind, I've got to touch his garment. But she didn't just stop there. It said she kept on saying, if I but touch his garment, I will be made whole. If I touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I got to get to him, I got to get to him, I got to get to him. So she left the place she was off in the dark in the outside of the camp, and she headed toward Jesus. And she, obvious where he was. There was this big crowd of people there. They were totally surrounding him. And she's thinking, oh, gosh, how do I get to him? Well, you know what I pictured she did? I pictured she just kind of wormed her way through the people and just kind of pushed her way through. And when she saw him, when she got to him, she threw herself down and just reached over and touched the bottom of his robe. And guess what? What was she saying? If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be restored to health. And immediately, woo! Verse 29, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Wow. So now she got her healing. How awesome. So now what is she going to do? Kind of just disappear the way she came, just slip back through the crowd and head on out, but now she's got a healed body. She can be in public again. She can start picking up the pieces of her life again. How excited she must have been. But then Jesus stopped. And he said, okay, who touched me? And she's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Do I have to say something? Do I have to let him know? Oh my gosh. Who touched me? I know I did. Well, the disciples, they said, Lord, everybody's touching you. Can't you see what a big crowd this is? And they're all touching you. And he said, no, it was a touch of faith. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody had the faith to believe when they touched me, they would be healed, because the healing anointing just flowed out of me into somebody here. Who is it? And she finally got the courage together and said, oh, I've got to tell him. So she admitted to it. Verse 30, and Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31, and the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. Verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And here he reacts to her. It's now it's just Jesus and the woman. There are all these people around, but it's like they faded into the background. Suddenly, there's just her precious healer and her. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, that is your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be continually healed and free from your distressing bodily disease. How awesome. So we have to ask ourselves, would we have had the faith to take the stand that she did? Maybe we don't know what it's like to be that desperate, to see that our choices are very black and white. Too many times our lives are with varying shades of gray. That's why we show six different options on here, because it's the way some people think. And they'll think, well, yeah, I want to do this, but, you know, and then we see too many buts. And there are compromises made. And there are things not quite the way God would like them to be, not quite the way Jesus would do it. So we all need to start practicing more with, what would Jesus do? Lord, what do you want me to do here? What would you do? And sometimes it's going to be a hard decision. And sometimes we need to take that deep breath and say, God, take my hand, take both my hands, let's go. But to keep up with prayers and affirmations, yeah. The reason we brought that into play here in choice D was to help get us thinking about, there's a term that is used. I don't particularly like it, but on the other hand, I think it's very descriptive of what I'm trying to say. It's blind faith. Like Indiana Jones going across the chasm. He looks and all he sees is a gorge way down deep. And he's supposed to be getting from here over to there. And it's too big for him to jump. Even if he gets back and runs and jumps, he thinks he's not going to make it. But there's something he's working with, clues. And somehow from that he gets, just step out. Just put your foot out and step down. And suddenly the pathway made itself there. And it caught him. And he took the next step and the next step, and he got all the way across. But he didn't see that step when he took that first. He didn't see the walkway across the chasm when he took his first step. And that's what faith is all about. We have to see the end result. We have to know where God is taking us. Sometimes we don't see that. But we trust him. That's like me going. I could have done it again, but not this time. So, faith is total trust in God. Total, absolute trust and confidence that he's leading us, he's guiding us, and he's walking with us, and we're doing things his way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.